Verily all praise is due to the Almighty Lord. We praise Him, we seek His aid, we beseech His forgiveness. We seek refuge of Allah Ta'ala from our evil souls and our evil actions. He whom Allah Ta'ala guides is rightly guided, and he whom Allah Ta'ala misguides can never ever find anyone to guide him to the path of paradise. I bear witness without any compulsion that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah Ta'ala. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and slave of the Almighty Lord, to whom was revealed the last message, the message of Islam to all humanity. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا بِطَانَةً مِن دُونِكُمْ لَا يَأْلُونَكُمْ خَبَالًا وَدُّوا مَا عَنِدْتُمْ قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Oh, you who believe, and if you believe, listen carefully to the saying of the Almighty Lord. Oh, you who believe, do not take as intimate friends, as advisors, those outside of your religion, those outside of your deen, those who are non-Muslims, do not take them as intimate friends and advisors, for they will spare no efforts to corrupt you. They desire to harm you severely. وَدُّوا مَا عَنِدْتُمْ قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Hatred has appeared from their mouths. وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. However, what their hearts conceal is far greater, far worse than that which they are exposing to you by mouth. Indeed, in this are clear signs, clear evidences for those people who understand. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. They wish, they want, they hope to extinguish the light of the Almighty Lord with their own mouths. But Allah says, He will indeed perfect His light, even though the disbelievers detest it. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Never will the Jews and Christians, never, listen to Allah's wording. It's لَنْ here, and لَنْ means never. It will never happen. Never will the Jews and Christians ever be pleased with you, O Muslims, until one thing happens. Until you follow their ways. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنْ اسْتَطَاعُوا. And they will never ever stop fighting you, O Muslims, until they return you from your path, from your deen, from your religion, from the way of your life, if they are able to. Ever since the start of Islam, the enemies of Islam have never ever ceased plotting against this precious Muslim nation. Why? In order to inject in it, induce in it very deeply the poison, the disease, the sickness of disbelief, deviation and moral degradation, hoping to corrupt the values, the beliefs of the sons and daughters of Islam, as well as seeking very, very strongly to remove the book of the Almighty Lord, the uncreated word of Allah Ta'ala, the noble Quran, the word, the criteria of Islam, to remove it, as well as the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to remove both of these two sources, which we Muslims hold onto with a strong rope. They want to remove it as being our source of legislation, as being our source of guidance in the various Islamic lands. O Muslims who are awake, O Muslims who are alert, O Muslims who are following up the news worldwide, you will know, O people of Islam, that the Muslims today are going through a state of hardship, a state of distress from the daily bloodshed in Palestine, from the continued US bombing in Afghanistan, from the attacks on Muslims in India, in Kashmir, in Chechnya, those in Bosnia and Kosovo, those in the Philippines and Indonesia, those that were in Burma, those that were in the world when the Muslims were, they attacked them. The daily attacks are continuing today. The recent innocent Iraqis, the recent terror, US terror attacks on the innocent Iraqis, and likewise the harassment on the Muslims, the peaceful, righteous Muslims in the West and beyond. Does it leave in anyone's mind who reflects and contemplates what is really meant by the term, by the wording, by the so-called war on terrorism? Does it leave any doubt in anyone's mind that it is nothing but a war on Islam and the Muslims to ensure the Zionist, those pigs, the Zionist American domination in every corner of this earth? This is the disease. This is the plot. This is the main plot. However, the plot today, the war today, the focus today is not only on military warfare. No. They are attacking the Muslims in a secret, subtle way, whereby the attacked does not perceive himself being attacked. He becomes controlled on a leash without himself even knowing he's being attacked. And this is known in Arabic as al-ghazw al-fikri, translated, rendered as being the ideological attack, a modern term which refers to a set of efforts undertaken by a particular nation in order to conquer, to influence another nation. And when it influences it or conquers it, it steers that nation, it steers those people in a particular course of direction because of this attack. And this, dear brothers and sisters, is more deadly, more dangerous than military warfare, since it aims at what? At secrecy. Since it aims, its objectives are very subtle. And the eventual result of this onslaught is what? That the attack nation, the attack people, us Muslims, we are diseased in our thoughts, in our minds, in our way of living, loving what the enemy wants us to love, hating what the enemy wants us to hate. This is the attack. There's no gun in front of you, but they have beaten and dominated your mind. They have poisoned you, induced in you poison. And this war, this type of attack, takes place by means of school curriculums, general education, TV, internet, vaccinations, fashion, publications, media, theories, philosophies, the replacement of Allah's law with man-made law, the replacement of Arabic with other languages, Western languages. Through these channels, the enemies are trying to deviate the Muslims from their belief in order to be attached to only that which the enemy throws at it. You know, I might say, what's this guy talking about? And whoever says that is poisoned, is himself poisoned, because they do not want you to know this. The attack, brothers and sisters, is not for M16 in front of you, no. The attack is in your very home, your very lifestyle, the way you walk, the way you sit, the way you eat, the way you drink, the way you live. Look and reflect. The attack of the Christian crusaders. Today, is at its most intense, open your eyes. Since Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi rahimahullah ta'ala conquered, won victory over the Christians crusading the Muslim lands, even though they had power and might, the Christian crusaders, even though they realized themselves that they themselves attained victory, otherwise they wouldn't have had Palestine and Masjid al-Aqsa. But they knew these victories were temporary and did not last. Because Salah ad-Din, rahimahullah, may Allah make many, many of him, when he came in, he defeated them. And he liberated Al-Aqsa into an Islamic state. But they knew something. They started thinking of a new strategy. This is this ideological attack, how it started. They started thinking, reconstructing an alternative, very dangerous, destructive alternative. So after numerous studies and assemblies, they arrived at something that was far more dangerous, far more destructive than military warfare, that is to launch an ideological attack, especially directed to those Muslims who are just beginning to grow and develop. Because they knew to conquer the mind and the thought is much more permanent than to conquer the Muslim lands. Because the Muslim lands might get beaten. But if you conquer the Muslim's mind, he will be like them. He will act like them. He will live like them. And thus they will exist amongst the Muslims, those who actually fulfill their wishes, intentionally or unintentionally. Are we not seeing this today? Look at the puppets worldwide. This is the ideological attack we're talking about. These puppets have been stabbed, have been induced, has been poisoned with this. And thus, it is explicit before our very eyes. And the war of the Zionist, is there any difference? The war of the Zionists, the Jews, it's just the same as the Christian crusaders, if not worse. Those who are working with their utmost ability to destroy, to corrupt the concepts of the Muslims, their belief, their manners, their morals, who are eager, who are working very hard, who are craving very strongly to take and possess the Muslim lands and to possess the lands of other people. Who do you think it was that introduced, innovated the names, the destructive false ideologies of Freemasonry or Shiism? Or Tijanism, or Sufism, or Shia, or any other sect. They were the ones who even originated the Trinity in Christianity. It was them, Shaul Bulos. They were the initiators of every evil, every corruption, every mischievous act. It was them. And likewise, the atheists and the communists who were spreading like wild fire in the Muslim lands. And they know that their biggest enemy, the most dangerous enemy, are the Muslims. Let us look at some of these plots, some of these means of how the enemy uses in order to spread their corrupted ideas and thoughts. First of all, they attempt to conquer the minds, the thoughts of the Muslim children and youth. And that is by infusing into them the Western values, the Western beliefs, so that youth, as he's growing up, or as he's grown up, he believes that the only way in everything, in anything, the only way to adopt is that of the West. So they make him believe that the only thing that will solve his problem is the way of the West, their beliefs, their ways, in manners, in morals, in beliefs, in eating, in drinking, in dress, in everything. And this poses a great danger to Islam. It poses a great danger to the Muslims. Why are we now so downtrodden, so enslaved by the unbelievers. Why? It is the resemblance, the adoption of the etiquettes and traditions of non-Islamic culture. This is the reason. How many Muslims are so poisoned with this plot that they are no longer aware of those etiquettes, of those attributes? They are no longer aware of the qualities that distinguish them as Muslims from non-Muslims. They have adopted so much evil or patterns of behavior which is absolutely repugnant to a sincere believer. And this is mentioned in a narration collected by Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you will follow the nations before you, span by span, cubit by cubit, in other words, inch by inch. Even if they were to enter the hole of a sand lizard, you, O Muslim, will chase them. Chase this kafir in that hole. Isn't this what we're witnessing today? Isn't this why we are enslaved by them? Because we are loving their ways. We are mixing in their ways. We are being a kafir ourselves by joining their lifestyle. And in molding, blending, compromising our religion for their religion and their ways. And it does not stop there. See, these people are evil. They're cunning. They work in a subtle way. Because when you start doing this, what happens? What happens? It leads to a further destruction. It makes you forget two major prerequisites of true faith. Two major elements which relate as conditions to the declaration of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, the elements of Al-Wala'u Al-Bara'. The person that is adopting their ways, he's not going to understand Al-Wala'u Al-Bara'. He does not even want to know Al-Wala'u Al-Bara'. He doesn't even care about Al-Wala'u Al-Bara'. Why? Because he's so indulged in that lifestyle. He's so in love in their ways. He wants to wear a Yankee shirt. He wants to wear or listen to music with microphones in his ears. He wants to be a clean-shaven person. He wants to wear a formal dress. He wants to drive a beautiful car. He wants to be a leader like they are. He wants rank, position, status like them. This is what they're driving you into. Al-wala, which is a manifestation of sincere love only for the Almighty Lord, His Messenger, and to your brothers and sisters, the believers. While al-bara is an expression of hatred towards what? Towards falsehood and its adherents, those that follow falsehood. But today, those who have fallen in the first plot have ended up in the second plot, thus into destruction. How many of us Muslims today have given wala, wala, which is loyalty and allegiance, to the non-Muslims? By befriending them, loving them, caring for them, preferring them over the Muslims. How many Muslims would prefer to be with a non-Muslim instead of a Muslim? Why will they give bara, which is expression of hatred and enmity to falsehood, they give al-bara to whom? To the believers, by displaying enmity, hatred, by disparaging their character, their brothers and sisters. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that whoever settles amongst the disbelievers, celebrates their feasts, lives in their revelry, and dies in their midst, will likewise be resurrected on the day of resurrection with those noxious beings. Masallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would we want this for ourselves? Brothers and sisters, reflect. Would we want to be risen on the day of resurrection, on a day of retribution, on a day of accountability, of judgment, with those noxious evildoers? Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because what happens when you become wala unto the kuffar? When you become wala to the kuffar, give loyalty and allegiance, what's going to happen after that? A further destruction. It would lead to the refusal of you condemning their kufr, or doubting in their kufr, or accepting their kufr, or even help the non-Muslims overcome the Muslims. And we gave his beautiful examples last week of Hummus that did this. He clearly did this to the kuffar. He helped the kuffar overcome us by saying that we are dangerous people. It's a clear example that we are dangerous people who wants to kill him and them and all humanity, all non-Muslims. This, dear brothers and sisters, as Muslims, we must uproot this from our heart. It's evil. We must uproot all loyalty, all allegiance from our heart, and leave only the loyalty and allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must hasten to give loyalty and allegiance to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should love him more than we love our fathers and mothers, our brothers and sisters, our aunties, our aunts, our sons and daughters, our nieces, our nephews. We should love him more than we love our own self. And this he instructed Umar ibn al-Khattab to do. رضي الله تعالى عنه وصلى الله عليه وسلم. We must hasten to give wala to each other, assist one another, love one another, care for one another, aid one another, be awliya of one another and not of the kafar. Let our feelings, our thoughts, our principles, our aims, our methods, our aqidah, our habits, our traditions, our lifestyle be one. We are one solid structure, giving allegiance only to each other. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Indeed, your wali. Look at what Allah is saying to you here, brothers and sisters. Reflect, contemplate. Allah is saying that your wali, your protector, your safeguardian, your security, your supporter is only in Allah, his messenger, and the believers. Not the kuffar, the believers. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. And whoever takes Allah as his wali, the messenger, and those who believe, for indeed the party of Allah Ta'ala, they will be victorious. They indeed will be victorious and no other. And this is the only unifying tie that we have between each other. This is the real bond. All other bonds other than aqidah, whether it be bloodshed and kinship, whether it be homeland and country, whether it be tribe and folk, color or race, these are all ties, bonds of jahiliyyah. They should be placed underneath the feet of Islam, tramped on so strongly that it goes to the bottom of the earth. These are loyalties that have been abolished by the Almighty Lord. And thus, he has bound us Muslims with the greatest ties, the ties of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. No Arab is favored over a non-Arab, nor is a fair-skinned Muslim superior to a black Muslim, except by degree of piety and virtue. This is the strength that we are after, brothers and sisters. We need this loyalty. We need this for each other in this time that we are going through. We need each other. This will bring about solidarity. It will bring us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's aid, assistance and support. Wake up and see what is happening around you. Reflect upon the situation around you. It is an intense crusade war out there. And stop saying it is war on terror, or war on the Iraqis, or war on the Afghanistanians or Taliban. It is war on Islam. And this is the real, genuine, authentic reason behind the war, the current war in Iraq, thus in Syria, thus in Iran, thus in the Middle East, thus worldwide. Look and reflect. Another plot that the enemies of the Almighty Lord have strongly succeeded in is to destroy the concept of jihad. Another plot, dear creatures, that the enemy of Allah Ta'ala has succeeded most strongly is to destroy the concept of jihad. And this is by establishing among the Muslims themselves people who say that no, jihad al-nafs is more major than jihad al-harb. That the jihad by soul is more stronger than the jihad by the sword. Or others that say, no, you cannot perform jihad, there's no khalifa. Without a khalifa, you cannot perform jihad. So why are you praying then, ya Muslim? Why are you praying then? Because the prayer came after the khalifa as well. So why pray? Is there a khalifa now, so why are you praying? Or others that say, there's no jihad today. Or others who have been poisoned with this plot, injected, whether be it housing commission, or social security, or welfare, or security, or refuge, or whatever. They've been induced with so much poison, so much luxury. I'm underneath my nice, warm doona. Hayya ala al-jihad! Oh, not now. Hayya ala al-nawm. This is the response this ignorant, foolish Muslim will give. This is the response. Nothing but a Zionist conspiracy. In a secret, subtle way, that the attack becomes controlled as though he's on a leash being driven in the way that the attacker wants him to go. A disease that turns a lion into a kitten. And the consequences are evil. See, what happens is when they succeed in this plot, what's going to happen? What's the consequence? Conclusion, what is it? They are free to assault us. You don't want to go to jihad. They know you're so luxury, you're so comfortable now. They've just filled you and filled you and filled you. You're comfortable. It's going to be easy for them to assault us, to brutally shed our blood, to rape our children and women, to destroy our masjid. They are determined to wipe the name of Islam from the face of this earth that you are currently walking on. Look and reflect. Did any so-called Islamic country fight or solve the matter of Palestine militarily? Did any so-called Muslim country, any Arab country even, solve the matter of Palestine militarily? While helicopters, aeroplanes, advanced ammunition, advanced artillery is being used to kill your Palestinian Muslim brothers and sisters who is being supported and given by the US government or bought by the taxpayers' money through the billions and billions of dollars that is given to them on a yearly basis. Why? In order to kill our Muslim children in Palestine who are armed with no more than a little piece of rock. Well, us Muslim leaders, the puppets who have fallen to this poison, to this plot, they're drinking their coffee and eating their dates. And they are comfortable. And they are comfortable. But I say again, this is our fault. This is the Muslims' fault. The reason for this humiliation, this defeat, this abyss in the hands of the kafir is no other than our fault. Why? Because we have become indulged in the transactions, following the tails of the cows, becoming satisfied, and then the worst of all, abandoning jihad, as occurs in an authentic narration by Sulaiman ibn al-Ash'ath, Abu Dawood, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you indulge in any transaction, take hold of the tails of the cows, become satisfied of cultivation, and abandon jihad, listen to the last statement, Allah will cover you all, O Muslims, with humiliation, which He will never ever remove until you return back to your deen. Back to your deen. When you indulge in any transactions, in other words, when you try to find a usurious transaction, trying to find a loophole, a way out, an exit, You get this today. Someone says to a person who's after a verdict, he does not like the verdict that the sheikh has passed to him, so he starts calling another sheikh. The sheikh, likewise, I don't like this statement. He calls another sheikh, and another sheikh. Ah, I'm comfortable now, I've got the answer I want. He's trying to find a loophole, a way out. And take hold of the tails of the cows. What does that mean? Yeah, it's an indication of showing importance to this world. Preoccupying yourself with this world and forgetting about the Sharia and its rulings. You know, you just grab, 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 grab. Not enough. Grab, grab the world. You're just following the tails of the cows. They're following the world, in other words. You want to grab the world. You want it all to be in front of you. All you care about is gathering, accumulating wealth. Following the tails of the cows. This is the mean of it. And when you gather this wealth, when it's all in front of you, you become satisfied with cultivation. In it, you're satisfied with the cultivation that you have collected. Alhamdulillah, now I'm comfortable. And when you're comfortable, what's going to happen? The last mentioning. And Ibn abandoned jihad. Because when you're comfortable, you're going to abandon jihad. Brothers, sisters, what are you living for? What are we doing here? What's happening in the world? Go to Iraq today and see your brothers and sisters. See them. See what is happening there. It's going to happen to you one day. Don't think because you're in Australia, you're comfortable, you're khalas, we're in a first world country. Look what's happening, brothers and sisters. Their heads have been blown off. Their legs have been amputated, their arms, their bodies. Their meat is being just thrown off their bodies. Look. And we are too comfortable with cultivation. We're too scared to go to jihad. What are you living for? Do you not read in your prayer that your prayer, your sacrifice, your living and dying is for Allah Ta'ala? Is it really for Allah Ta'ala? Are you a hypocrite? Are you really for Allah Ta'ala? Open your eyes. Open your mind. Open your thoughts. And know there's a conspiracy out there, a plot. They do not want you to love Allah Ta'ala. They do not want you to fight in jihad. They do not want you to be Muslims. They are working extremely hard to take you away from Allah Ta'ala. Do not be too comfortable in front of your television screen and having your popcorn, as Brother Ismail Kirsten once said, and just watching what is being given on that evil screen. Allah Ta'ala is telling you, أَرَضِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Have you preferred the life of this world to the next? Allah is saying to you, but little is the comfort of this life in comparison to the hereafter. It's eternal. It's eternal, brothers. It's eternal. Everlasting. Never stopping. There's no full stop. It's eternal. It's continuing. This is a full stop where you're going to end. That, there's no full stop. The hadith is clear, brothers and sisters. Clear as light. Clear as light. When you take hold of the tails of the cows, love this world, become satisfied with this world, you abandon jihad. What does jihad mean here? You are abandoned to sacrifice your life for Allah Ta'ala. You will abandon to sacrifice, to desire, the love, to sacrifice your life for Allah Ta'ala. This is the meaning of this hadith. Meaning that you will not want to confront death because you're too comfortable with this world. So how are you going to die on this belief? How will you die on this belief? How will you confront Allah Ta'ala on day of resurrection? Think and reflect, dear brothers and sisters. And this is nothing but a narration that testifies what is happening today when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly said that the nations will summon each other against you. As those eating summon each other to the dish, a big food, a plate of food. You got biryani in front of you. Those eating around this plate of biryani, a bowl, They haven't eaten for days. How will they eat the biryani? They will devour it as though it's there tomorrow. This is exactly what the kuffar are doing to us today. We are the biryani. We are the food in that dish. We are Muslims who are being placed on that dish, that bowl, and being eaten, devoured by the so-called coalition of kuffar. And they have devoured us. And when asked by the companion, Ya Rasulullah, is it because we'll be few on that day? Look at this beautiful question. The companion wants to know, why? Why? Is this going to happen, our Prophet of Allah? What did he answer him with? Did he say, because yes, you are going to be few? No. Rather, you will be many, like the foam of a stream, but the sickness comes. Allah Ta'ala will remove from your enemy's hearts fear of you. Why fear of you? Why would they not fear us no more as they are not fearing us today? One day, you used to raise your head on the streets and everyone put their head down. As the English brothers in Pakistan told me, or the Pakistan brothers and the Bangladeshi brothers in England told me in London, when I was in the university with them, they said, Fayez, before the Gulf War, we used to walk the streets with our head like this. After the Gulf War, we were too ashamed, too embarrassed to walk the streets because America assisted Saudi Arabia in the Gulf War. They were ashamed to walk the streets. They were embarrassed that they used the enemies of Allah Ta'ala, who is poisoning them every day with this sickness and disease. They're using these people to aid them against the Muslim brothers themselves. When he was asked, why a Prophet of Allah? He said, Allah will release from your enemies' hearts fear of you and will place, O Muslim, in your hearts what? Wahn. Weakness. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this weakness? And what is this weakness? Love of this world. Love of this world. And hatred of death. Love of this world and hatred of death. Love of power, love of honor, love of status, love of worldly possessions, which ultimately leads to pride and arrogance and ostentation. Love of wealth, which is a driving force, even leading many people to their destruction. Wallahi, it's an overpowering goal, which has led many, many people to neglect the commands of the Almighty Lord. This little paper money there, this little paper money, this currency is destroying your hereafter. O Muslim, O submitter to the Almighty Lord, how can paper money destroy your Firdaus al-A'la? Is Firdaus al-A'la more worthy, or is that paper money more worthy? It's the bundle of papers that's going to be burnt. Better than the Firdaus al-A'la? Allahu Akbar, brothers and sisters. Allahu Akbar. Love of this world and hatred for death. Love of that paper money and hatred to leave death, to leave this paper money because you don't want to die. Why do you want to die? Why? Because you've accumulated the paper money. Is this your paradise? Is this your paradise, the paper money? Or is it Firdaus al-A'la your paradise? Love of wealth over the hereafter. Evil spouses, evil children, evil parents. Another plot that the enemies use against us. How and what does it mean? How many wives has this enemy destroyed? How many homes has this enemy destroyed, and how did it destroy them? How many ladies today, after being given and given and given, sole parent, they've got this in front of them. They'll give them housing commission, family allowances, whatever other allowances. What does it do to the lady? What has it done to the lady? I'm independent. I don't need you. What are you supplying me with? John Howard is paying for my bills, for my rent, for my electricity, for my phone bill. He's given me and given me. Who are you? What are you giving me? And how many homes have been destroyed because of governments of such? See, these you don't look at. You don't think because it's just passing before you. This is a plot against us. It's a plot. How many ladies have transgressed the limits of Allah Ta'ala? And this is only after becoming poisoned by the enemy of Allah Ta'ala. After she sees the fashion, after she sees the magazines, after she sees the TV, the internet, after she sees the men she works with, whether she is working with them, mocking with them, playing with them, flirting with them, joking with them, talking to them, as though they were, it's her father or her brother. And that's what happens to that lady. What happens to that lady? Naturally, that lady will be affected by this propaganda. And she will think that Islam is oppressing her, giving her little rights. Thus, she wants to liberate herself from this prison. She wants to free herself from this prison. She wants to free herself from this hijab. How many ladies, how many flowers of Islam were flowers? Now they have not become flowers anymore. They become dead roses. Once they were flowers, beautiful veiled. They come from another country, full hijab. Beautiful looking flowers, red, shining, glamorous. After some time being mixed, mixing with the other sex, mixing with the other sect, religion, the flower, the rose began to die and die and die until the rose is fully dead. The wind came and blew the rose and nothing is left but the stem. The hijab became shorter and shorter and shorter. Fashion. You gotta stay with fashion. You gotta make sure the hijab suits the day we are living. Shorter, shorter, shorter. So much that you don't have to even marry her to know what she looks like anymore. This is what we are going through today. It's our sisters in Islam. Isn't this a plot against us? They are eager to destroy our unity, spit us Muslims. They are eager to sow the seeds of enmity, hatred and discord amongst us. Who do you think is the cause of us Muslims calling each other with false accusations like Hada Khariji, Hada Takfiri, Hada Wahhabi, Hada Sufi? Who do you think is the cause of all this? They are the ones that created, introduced these names as sects. It wasn't there before. It was them. Their active drive towards promoting the Western languages in the Muslim lands. In other words, they replace the Arabic language, the language of the Quran, the language of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Western languages. Why? You know, you go to Africa and a lot of Islamic countries, cities like Nigeria and so forth, where they used to teach fluent Arabic there in universities, fluent Arabic. They taught nothing but Arabic. Likewise in the Middle East, likewise in Eastern Asia. You go there now and see how it's been transferred into English. But if we ask ourselves why, the reason is simple. They do not want the Muslims to know the language of the Quran al-Karim. They do not want the Muslims to know the language of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They do not want you to know Islam as it should be known. Because when you read it in English, it's not the same as Arabic. So they are trying to destroy the ability of understanding the word of Allah Ta'ala as it should be understood. While the Jews and Christians, known as the Orientalists, are learning. Likewise in the Middle East, likewise in Eastern Asia. You go there now and see how it's been transferred into English. But if we ask ourselves why, the reason is simple. They do not want the Muslims to know the language of the Quran al-Karim. They do not want the Muslims to know the language of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They do not want you to know Islam as it should be known. Because when you read it in English, it's not the same as Arabic. So they are trying to destroy the ability of understanding the word of Allah Ta'ala as it should be understood. while the Jews and Christians, known as the Orientalists, are learning the Arabic language, then they themselves, after learning the Arabic language, study the Quran, study the Sunnah, and then they become teachers in schools, in universities, or they compile books in order to say that we are sheikhs and they are teaching Islam. But how are they teaching Islam? Confusing the mind of the Muslims, distancing the Muslims from Islam itself, full of misconceptions, full of evil. Look at the large number of missionaries. Worldwide, especially in Eastern Asia, in Africa and the Middle East, where they're calling to the falsehood, setting up radio stations solely to call to their false objectives, Christianity, placing Bibles in schools, hospitals, in hotels, in many other places, trying to attack the naive Muslims, building even churches and temples in Muslim lands. Any brothers and sisters, why are they doing this? We've got this is from the Sydney Morning Herald Monday morning. Listen to what is happening in Iraq. Look at the page anyway. Australia would not follow Americans into Iran or Syria, says Downer. He won't follow America. So what is America trying to plot against the Islamic world next? To attack who? Attack Syria. A sham. Iraq. Do we know these countries? Do we know these cities? Al-Basra, Baghdad? The cities of our great scholars? The great companions who travelled there and taught Islam? Has any Islamic so-called country fought for the return of the Islamic city, whereby they want to make it into a state of democracy, of the state of the devil's law? This is what they're trying to do. Destroy Islam once again. Go in and destroy Islam. Because they don't want Muslims to practice Islam. They want to make it a state of democracy. Do, you're a free man. Do what you please. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Listen. Muslims wary of Christians bearing gifts of food and water. You all know that now the UN and so forth, or the so-called British liars and the United Snakes of Pigs, they're sending all their food and water. Believe me, brothers and sisters, scary stuff. Scary, sad, and really, it brings tears to the eyes if you really know what is happening in that city. You know, they're bidding water. After they kill and kill and kill, they deceive people's eyes with water and food. And on the right hand, the Bible. In the right hand, the Bible. In the left hand, food and water. We are saviors! We are saviors, they say, while they're trying to drag you into their ways, into their concepts, into their Christian beliefs. It could only happen with an American invasion. Very good start, isn't it? Everything can only happen with an American invasion. Poised behind the troops, waiting for a signal that Iraq is safe enough for them to operate. Who to operate? The missionaries. Other Christians carrying food in one hand and the Bible in the other. The groups funded by American churchgoers are likely to do a magnificent job in offering water, food, medical help, and comfort to a traumatized population. And who traumatized that population? Was it not those invaders, those pigs? But they are causing alarm among Muslims, who fear vulnerable Iraqis will be cajoled into conversion, and forced into conversion. Some warn that the missionaries will be prime targets in an unpacified Iraq. Muslims worry. Muslim worries have been heightened because the man leading, look at this carefully, listen to this carefully. Look at the man leading this troop. Listen to this very carefully. Muslim worries have been heightened because the man leading the charge into Iraq is the Reverend Franklin Graham, the man who delivered the invocation to President Bush, the son of Billy Graham, and a fierce, very important to understand this, and a fierce critic of Islam. He is on record as calling it a wicked, violent religion with a God different from that of Christianity. The two, he said, are different as lightness and darkness. This man, I saw him on Fox News one day, and he was doing a report live. And on the bottom, the title, it said, Islam, the religion of evil. And he was explaining this title. And he was relating verses from the Quran, trying to prove to all humanity that Islam is a religion of terror. Islam is a religion of evil. Islam is a religion of violence. Islam is an unjust religion. And he worked hard towards his evil scheme. Mr. Graham runs an organization whose workers are in Jordan waiting. They're in Jordan right now, his workers. His employees are in Jordan. Waiting for what? Waiting to move into Iraq. It has a strong record of charitable help built over more than 30 years, but its official aim is clear. The organization serves the church, being there with a cup of cold water, exhibiting Christ's spirit of serving others, he said. It's a long story. The main aim, as mentioned, is that they are trying to attack the Muslims, not help the Muslims with food and water. They're trying to deceive them there, but they are trying to teach them the concept of Christianity. And naturally, people are weak. Look at Africa. How many have converted from Islam? How many have apostatized from Islam into Christianity or any other false belief after being given so much drugs, food, water, shelter, clothes? Naturally, the human being will be inclined towards that person. It's a plot, dear brothers and sisters. Reflect. Some facts. This is from a Red Cross worker, highlighted these facts this morning on ABC Radio. In the first fortnight of the war, the Americans were averaging 100 dead or injured Muslims a day. Last week, the Americans were averaging 100 dead or injured Muslims an hour. Today, they have stopped counting the numbers. Why? Because it is too great. The hospitals are being filled by the minute. Channel 9 News with an Iraqi correspondent in Iraq. Today's images on the news are Baghdad, all burning, and civilians are running through the streets. A reporter showed, look at this, a bomb landing in the heart of Baghdad. It created a 15-meter hole with a 45-meter circumference. Hundreds of these are landing every single day. Brothers, what are they trying to do to us? What are they aiming at? Think. They say their target is precise. What precise is this? Thousands and thousands. Don't be deceived what you watch on that Zionist news. Thousands and thousands of civilians have been killed. Al Jazeera. Qasar, a mass grave was exposed. Iraqi people are all buried in one grave. The people responsible for this are the British soldiers to control a disease outbreak. Channel 7 by David Koch. 8 American politicians specializing in oil and economic capabilities are waiting in Kuwait to rebuild and sign contracts to get Iraq back on track This is the dangerous part here. With a strong Western democratic base. If you understood what that meant, it's a dangerous scheme, plot that are going to work in Iraq so that can transform all the Iraqis as being the liberators and the land of democracy. Thus, do what you please. Do not be restricted by any law of Allah Ta'ala, religion. Be secular. Channel 2, Four Corners. Degraded plutonium one-ton bombs are being used, which these bombs, the plutonium bombs, are being banned in the UN. They're banned by the UN for any country to use. Listen to this. One-ton bombs of this are being used in Iraq to destroy all compounds. The ironic thing is that America has banned these weapons of mass destruction. Yet they themselves, those hypocrites, are using them. But where's the world? Where's the world? Where's the UN? Wallahi, the UN do not stand any chance against America. They cannot say a word against America. America is a Zionist-run scheme, regime. It's from the Zionists. Look at this. Ariel Sharon, that big Hanzir of the world, the biggest Hanzir of them all, we control America. This is his statement. Listen to this. According to the Israeli Hebrew radio, CLL Israel Wednesday, Peres warned Sharon. Peres, one of the ministers, warned Sharon that refusing to heed incessant American request for a ceasefire with the Palestinians would endanger Israeli interest and turn the US against us. This is Peres talking to Sharon. Listen to the response. At this point, a furious Sharon, he's big and fat, you know, he'd be fed so much pig's food. At this point, a furious Sharon reportedly turned towards Peres, saying, every time we do something, you told me America will do this and will do that. I want to tell you something very clear. This is who? Sharon to Peres. He said, don't worry about American pressure. Don't worry about American pressure on Israel. We, the Jewish people, control America, and the Americans know it. Subhanallah al-Azim. The radio said Peres and other cabinet ministers warned Sharon against saying what he said in public because it will cause us a public cost. Of course, no matter what the cost. He's bombing with the plutonium, which is banned, and killing thousands of innocent civilian, Iraqi civilians, and that uranium itself, that will last for a long time in Iraq. Once that hits, it's not the end of it. They will always remain in the air. It's like uranium. It's a chemical disaster that the children will always be deformed. It happened in 1991 in the Gulf War when they hit them with the uranium itself, then as well. Until this day, thousands of children are dying yearly because... And bring these evil villains to justice no matter what the cost. Of course, no matter what the cost. He's bombing with the plutonium, which is banned, and killing thousands of innocent civilian, Iraqi civilians, and that uranium itself, that will last for a long time in Iraq. Once that hits, it's not the end of it. They will always remain in the air. It's like uranium. It's a chemical disaster that the children will always be deformed. It happened in 1991 in the Gulf War. When they hit them with the uranium itself, then as well, until this day, thousands of children are dying yearly because of this. He's repeating the father of his, which he done then, now he's doing this to the son, he wants to be like his father. Today Bush claimed that he has been chosen to do God's work and bring these evil villains to justice, no matter what the cost. He said, Syria and then Iran are definitely next. This is Channel 9 News. Channel 9 News.
The Beni Inn priest.
You remember that Beni Inn in the morning? The one that priest that deceives so many eyes, cheats so many people. The one that stands there, I can see, oh, this person is sick. Oh, he's got sickness in his leg. He's got cancer in his leg. Oh, he's been cured. Oh, he's been cured. That shaitan. What kind of a devil is he? You know, all he is a money maker. Stealing people, those foolish imposters. This person anyway, look at him. And he's looked at as a high person. He's regarded as someone very, very powerful. The Beni Inn priest show early this morning said, listen to this, that in the Jewish and Christian scrolls, 82% of all devils in the Middle East must die before there is an everlasting peace for Israel and the world. Then the Messiah will return. To get your free crusade books, call us now. This has been pounded to millions of Americans' minds day after day. Brothers, sisters, wake up. What is happening out there? Look how they turn against us. We've always known this, but look how explicit it is. 82% in the middle, Ashura mentions, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whatever evil misfortune befalls you, it is because of what your hands have earned, O Muslims. In Surah Al-Ra'd, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala will not change the condition of a nation until they themselves change. In Surah Al-Rum, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Evil has been spread on the land and on the sea because of what the hands of men have earned. In a narration collected by Sulaiman ibn Ashraf on the authority of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ النَّاسَ إِذَا رَأُوا الْمُنْكَرُ وَلَا يُغَيِّرُونَهُ أَوْشَكَ أَنْ يَعَمَّهُمُ الْعَذَابِ أَوْشَكَ أَنْ يَعَمَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِعِقَابِ. When the people see evil, but they do not change it, Allah might cover you all with humiliation from Himself. It is us who are causing this to happen to us. As occurred in the Battle of Uhud, when the archers were told, stay there, stay on the mountain, do not leave your posts under any circumstance. Remain there, whether we lose, whether we win, just stay there. But when the Muslim, the archers, saw the defeat of the enemy and saw the Muslims advancing against their enemy, and they were running after the booty, they started running off that mountain. They came down from that mountain, from their posts. A few said, do not move, remain where you've been commanded to remain. But they did not remain. So Allah Ta'ala, after they changing themselves, Allah Ta'ala changed them. Instead of winning, they were defeated and struck with a bad, evil catastrophe. Likewise, us, brothers and sisters, it is us that we are doing this to ourselves. If we ever, ever want to elevate the status of this ummah and obliterate the humiliation, the defeat that we have fallen into, we must seek knowledge of this great treasure, this precious pearl. Seek knowledge of Islam. For indeed a person who worships Allah Ta'ala with no knowledge is like a traveller taking the wrong road, or a person travelling in the desert or in the country without any headlights, as Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali mentions very clearly. Whoever takes a path without knowledge, believing it would take him to paradise, has indeed taken the most difficult path, and it would not lead him to his destination despite his burden, his hardship. It's getting pretty late. I don't want to continue, even though there's two more plots to speak about, but time has beaten us. Inshallah Ta'ala, we'll leave it at that. Maybe inshallah in the future we'll continue the lesson, and we'll continue the part two of this, inshallah Ta'ala, which is, what is our duty confronting this evil? What should we do, and how should we act in these times? Inshallah Ta'ala, regarding questions, we'll save it for tonight. We'll leave it for, inshallah, the following weeks. And the questions that have been given to me here, they will be answered in our next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. Wa akhra da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I don't want to continue, even though there's two more plots to speak about, but time has beaten us. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave it at that. Maybe inshallah in the future we'll continue the lessons, the lesson, and we'll continue the part two of this, inshallah ta'ala, which is, what is our duty confronting this evil? What should we do, and how should we act in these times? Inshallah ta'ala, regarding questions, we'll save it for tonight. We'll leave it for inshallah the following weeks. And the questions that have been given to me here, they will be answered in our next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. Wa akhra da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.